So we are holding on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, about the end of the end of the narrow line, two lines from the end of the narrow line. Two lines, rather, from the end of the narrow line, line beginning of the Mezalzel. All right, we started discussing about, the Mishnah had told us that there was at one point there that you're not allowed to use oil, olive oil, made by Goyim. And then we said that Rebbe, either Rebbe, the Pashtus, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya, we talked about maybe the possibility that it means that Rebbe Yehuda Anasi had the same idea at first. Anyway, they were mevatel. He and his Beis Din were mevatel that Gzeira.
Right.
So we started discussing where does the Gzeira come from in the first place. We said that Rav,
because
we said that's what we're going to discuss today. So where does the Gzeira come from in the first place? So Rav says that Daniel made the Gzeira.
Right.
Shmuel said it's because the concern is that the Goyim use kalim that have Isser embedded in their walls, and therefore when you pour in the Isser will come out from the walls of the kalim into the oil. Or like Tosfos says, just the very act of pouring the oil into the kalim will make this stuff come out into it.
Either way.
Yeah. Anyway, so then we started discussing that Shmuel says to Rav, if you say it's because of that issue of Tam in the walls of the Kali, fine, that explains how Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his basin can be mevatelit, because they held that Nois and Tam Lefgam is mutter.
And it was not a problem for Daniel to...
No, so that's the thing. Shmuel doesn't hold of the thing about Daniel. Shmuel holds that the idea in the first place was Nois and Tam Lefgam, where there was Nois and Tam Lefgam. You have this taste that comes out of the walls of the container, the trefa taste that comes out of the wall of the container. It's not something that gives a good taste to the oil, something that gives it an off taste. However, we can say that the Chachamim of the earlier generation figured that such a thing is osir, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din argued with that, and they say it's mutter. Fine. Tosfos asked, I mean, even a point of that, had Tosfos asked how are they able to argue with the previous Beis Din? So Tosfos answers basically that from the Gemara over here, it would come out that there are actually two reasons behind the thing. One because of the Tam that we're saying over here, and another one that we're going to discuss further on because of Chatnus. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya felt that neither of those is a very, that you need the combination of those to make it author. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din then will have held neither one is a particularly strong reason, and therefore even the combination of them is not enough to make it author. But fine, that you can have. But Shmuel says to Rav, if you say that Daniel made this Gzeira, how is Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din able to cancel a Gzeira that Daniel and his Beis Din made? You have to be greater B'chachma over Minyan. Okay, so we said that Rav didn't believe that it was really revoked. He said Rav Simloy is coming and telling us, but I don't trust Rav Simloy. And then Shmuel basically told him you can't say that. You can't say that. That would be Lashon Hara. And if you really want, you can't say something on that. You can't say on Rav Simloy that he's the kind of person who's mezalzel and sakana of the Chacham. Okay, so that's where we're holding. Amar Rav Imheim Loy Dorshu Anan Loy Darshinan. So Rav says, okay, fine, I accept in the end that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya really did revoke this Gzeira, and that Rabbi Simloy is telling us the truth. However, all it means is then Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya apparently didn't understand how to darshan the pasuk about Daniel, so he thought that maybe it was some later Beis Din that did it, and therefore he has the ability to revoke it. But just because he didn't make that drasha, anan lo darshinan, shouldn't we make that drasha? Shouldn't we point out that in fact we can see from the pasuk in Daniel that Daniel really did make this gzeira on oil, and therefore not like Shmuel is thinking, and not like apparently Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is thinking, that it's just a matter of nois and tam lefgam, which we can revoke, but rather it's an actual gzeira of Daniel and company, and therefore we can't. I'll show you from the pasuk that's the case.
If you say it's a gzeira,
if you say it's because of nois and tam, then fine. A later Beis Din can argue with an earlier Beis Din on the facts
it's
of halakha.
No,
so then it's not really considered a gzeira. Then no, it's considered. So the Ravid actually makes this point. So again, Tosfos had asked the question in that case: how is a later Beis Din able to contradict an earlier one? The Ravid says because when it comes to a matter like that of shikul hadas, when it's a matter of you have a question in halakha, is such a thing author or is it mutter? Fine, it's reasonable enough. A later Beis Din can argue with an older Beis Din, with a previous Beis Din, and say, we understand the halacha differently. You understood that Nois and Tam Lefgam is also, we understand that it's mutter. Fine, that's not a problem, says the Ravid. But when you have a gzera, that they found a reason to make a gzera, there's a difference between paskening halacha, using the existing framework that we have, for example, whether Nois and Tam Lefgam asters or not, versus creating a new Gzeira because we're concerned about chasnus or because we're concerned about whatever. We're there, again, as we're going to go through the story over here, not necessarily does a later Beis Din have the ability to revoke it. Sometimes not b'chlal, and sometimes only if they're a greater Beis Din, depending on the circumstances, as we will talk about. So therefore, the Rav is saying, apparently Rav Yehuda Nesiya did not know to darshan this pasuk from Daniel, but I'll show you how it's supposed to be darshan, and therefore you should realize that Rav Yehuda Nesiya was mistaken in revoking this Zera. He doesn't have the ability to do it. Namely, because you have a pasuk that says, Vayosem Daniel al-Liboy, Daniel, when he and his friends, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, were taken to Nebuchadnezzar's palace. They're going to grow up there, and they're going to become ministers of the state. Daniel said it in his mind, Asher lo yisgal b'pas bag hamelech, that he's not going to become Tomei. Yisgal comes, is related to the word Gaal, Gimel, Ayin, Lamed, which means disgusting. He's not going to allow himself to become Tomei, to become disgusting, b'pas bag hamelech, with the food of the king, uviyein mishtav, and with the wine of his drinks, plural. Now, what's drinks, plural? It should say yein mishtoy. It means v'shtei mishtoy sakotem adaber. Therefore, it indicates the pasuk is talking about two types of liquid, two types of drinks, echad mishtei yain v'echad mishtei shemen. One wine that it says in the pasuk. No, you don't drink it by itself, but you mix it into other things and drink it. The point is, it's considered a mashke, it's considered a liquid. So Rav says, you see clearly from that pasuk that Daniel made a gzera on oil as well. Okay, Tosfos points out why aren't we mentioning bread and wine in this connection? So Tosfos says, "Pas bag hamelach" doesn't necessarily mean the bread itself; it means the side dishes that you eat together with the bread. But and as far as yayin, okay, yes, the Gemara could have mentioned yayin as well, but we're in the topic of shemen, so that's why we're dealing with it. Okay, anyway, the point is that Rav says, so therefore you see that Daniel made this gzera. Now, so what's the underlying machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Fine, Shmuel knows that pasuk also, and he also knows the dash in the word mishtav as meaning two liquids. The Rav Sava al-Liboy Sama l'chol Yisrael Hora. Rav understands the pasuk to say, not only Daniel put it in his own mind that he's not going to do this, but he also, he made a gzera for the entire Jewish people that they should do the same thing. They should not be drinking wine or using oil of goyim.
Al-Liboy
means not just for himself, but for the whole Jewish people. Well, Shmuel Sava al-Liboy Sama l'chol Yisrael Loi Hora. Whereas Shmuel holds, it only means he made a personal hachlota for himself. He did not obligate the rest of the Jewish people to follow it.
Interesting
thing. Rav Yonis and Ibershitz points out in one of his drushes, so why should there be that machlokas? Why should there be that machlokas, whether al-Liboy means for himself and for everybody else or not? So he points to a Gemara in Sanhedrin where it talks about the question, whether the pasuk calls Daniel and Hanani and Mishael Azariah calls them sorisim. Now, sorisim can have two meanings. It can mean they were actually castrated, as the goyim used to do to their ministers in those days, so that they can't have family lives. This way they can be devoted to the service of the king. Or, the Gemara says, another explanation, that Avodah Zarah was rendered sterile in their times, because after the whole story with Nebuchadnezzar's statue, everybody began to realize, for once and for all, how worthless Avodah Zarah is. That was the beginning of the process of Avodah Zarah getting uprooted mostly from the world. So the point is, therefore, if we say that Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah themselves were Sirisim, then that means there's no problem of chasnus with them. They're not going to go marry Goyish women. They're anyway not able to. What do you mean happen? A Nazi? Who says Daniel was a Nazi?
He was
a leader of the Jewish people. Doesn't mean he was a Nazi.
That's later on.
That's around the time they built the second Beit Hamikdash. This is earlier. The point is, therefore, if Daniel and company were Sarisim, then there's no reason for them to be worried about chasnus. If Daniel was making himself a chlata not to drink goyish wine and not to use goyish oil because of chasnus, it must be not just for him but for the whole Jewish people. And that's how Rav holds. Whereas Shmuel holds, no, they're not Sarisim. They're able to have normal family lives. Therefore, Daniel himself, being in the king's palace, he has a reason to be machmir on himself on this. Doesn't mean the whole Jewish people.
Well, it says
Al-Liboy,
it means on his
half. Actually, yeah, but Al-Liboy, but Rav says it means also L'chol Yisrael. Fine, but Rav says it means not just for himself, but for the whole Jewish people. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, V'shem and Daniel Gozer. So you're telling me Daniel is the one who made a gzera on goyish oil? Well, I'm a Bali, but Bali said, Avimi Nuta, Mishmei the Rav, that Avimi Nuta said in the name of Rav, Titan V'shamnon Yenon of Nesehen, goyish bread, which we discussed before, and oil, and wine, and their daughters, Kulan Mishmona also Dabahin. All of these are among the 18 Xeris that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel made. That we have the famous story that they went up to the attic of Hanani ben Chizkiya ben Gorin, and at that point Beit Shammai outnumbered Beit Hillel, and therefore they were able to force the issue and make 18 Xeris, which are discussed in chapter. So therefore, it's long after Daniel. This is in times of Beit Shammai and Beit Shammai. You're talking about towards the end of the second Beit Hamikdash, so like 400 years after Daniel, yeah. So what are you telling me that Daniel is the one who made the Xera? We're going to discuss on Amud Beis. That's an obvious question. The Torah says you're not allowed to marry Persian women. We'll deal with that extensively on Amud Beis. Just wait. Okay. Anyway, the point is that Shemen and Yan Yayin, for that matter, also are Xera from the Yud Ches Dover, from Tamid Hisham of Ehilol. So what are you telling me that Daniel made it? The Chi Tema, now you might answer, also Daniel goes over like people. You might answer, okay, what happened was that Daniel came and made the Gzera, the like people, but the people did not accept that Gzera, therefore it wasn't in effect yet. But also Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai goes over people. Then the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai came and goes on it, and then it was generally accepted. The question is, in that case, what's the point of Rav mentioning that Daniel made the Takana? Again, if the people didn't accept it, it's not a Xera, rather. If Daniel made it and nobody accepted it, it's not a valid Xera. So there's no reason even for Daniel for Rav to even mention the Pasuk in Daniel. Obviously, it must be that in Daniel's time also it was accepted. And therefore, so what are Tamid Hisham of the Hillel adding to it then? The question, of course, can also be, and the Gemara is going to ask soon, even if you're going to say that Shammai v'Hillel, that Talmid Shammai v'Hillel did it, still, they're also greater than Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. You still have to ask the question how Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya could be Mevatel. Anyway, so we'll get back to that soon. Anyway, okay. The answer is, Ela Daniel Gaza Olav Ba'ir. No, rather, the answer is that Daniel made a Gzera on it in the city. But also in Rav Gazer Afil Basada. Then we're in the city again, as we said before, in connection with bread, and as we said a few days ago with the Gzera of the Amaroyim in connection with beer. That in the city there's more of a problem of chasnus because there's more socialization. In the field, Daniel had no reason to be goes on it. But also in Rav Gazer Afil Basada, then Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, Rav Yudches Dover, came and added that it's also in the field. And therefore, that's what each of them added. So it's valid to say that it's a takana that it's a gzera of Daniel. It's also valid to say that it's a gzera of Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. And Tosfos points out, by the way, the very fact that the part of the question is, in other words, the question now is even stronger on Rav there. If you're going to tell me that the Gzera had two stages and that Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai added to an existing Gzera of Daniel's, on the face of it, that means the Gzera that Daniel made was accepted in his times. Otherwise, Talmidei Hillel and Shammai are not going to go add to it further. So if it was accepted, if it was poshta b'chol Yisrael, at least in the city, then how can they revoke it? Right. So that becomes the question now. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, heichem matzil mishra takanta to Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. So now, how is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, able to cancel a takana, a gzera, of the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai? And again, where some part of it even goes back to Daniel. But we learn in a Mishnah, which we quoted earlier on the Amud, ein beisin yochel levatel d'ri beisin chavere, one beisin cannot revoke the words of a previous beisin, elim ken godel of hemena b'chochma v'minyan, unless it's greater in chochma, and in number, and we discussed yesterday what number means. Doesn't mean the number of other chachamim of that generation who agree with the takana or the gzera. Doesn't mean the number of talmidim. Doesn't mean the ages of the respective of it based in. Doesn't mean the number of the number of members of the Sanhedrin who voted in favor of the takana. Whatever. Anyway, the point is. In general, we know that not, right? I mean, Rishonim to Malachim, Anu Kamei Adam, etc. So there's no possible way that we can think that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who lived 200 years after Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, and 500, 600 years after Daniel, that he should be greater than them in Chochma. Not happening. So how does it work? But Oid, and not only that, the question is, we just said that part of the Gzera on oil is from the Yud Ches Dover, and Ha'omer Rabba Babachon Ha'omer Rabbi.
The Gemara is trying to make a decision.
We're trying to figure out, how is it possible that the Gzera could be revoked? So again, according to Shmuel, it's not really that much of a question. According to Shmuel, we would say that Daniel himself only made it as a halter for himself. You would say that the Talmidei Hillel and Shammai made the Gzera, but fine, maybe they didn't necessarily make it as a Gzera because of Chasnus. Maybe they only made it because of the problem of Noitin Tamasgam, in which case Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and company are entitled to disagree with that understanding of the Halacha. Or, again, like Tosfos says, you really need two reasons working together, nois and tamlis, gam and chasnus. And the Yehuda Nesiya can figure neither one of them by itself is a strong enough reason, therefore we can be mevatelit. But according to the question is primarily, according to Rav, if the basis of the tachon, of the gzera comes from Daniel, and then it was further made, it was extended to the field by Talmid Hillel of the Shammai, then how is Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya coming and being mevatelit? And not only that, with any kind of thing, with any kind of zero or whatever, a later based in can revoke the what was decided by an earlier based in. Chutz mishmona also javer, except for these 18 zeros of Talmidei Shammai and Hillel. Shafilu Yove Eliyahu Besdinah Ein Shemin. Even if Eliyahu and his Besdin were to come and tell us that we don't have to observe one of these 18 takanas anymore, one of these 18 zeros anymore, then we don't do that. That we don't listen to. So the Gemara and Shabbos list them as actually a couple of different opinions, what they are exactly, but about half of them have to do with Hilchot Tum of Atara, and then there are a number of other miscellaneous ones, about a couple of them. They're mentioned in Shabbos because the Mishnah over there mentioned a couple of them in connection with Hilchot Shabbos, for example, that you're not allowed to read by candlelight, you're not allowed to pick out lice from clothes by candlelight on Shabbos, because you may adjust the wick to make it burn better. A couple of things over there, and then you have a number of them having to do with Tumah V'Tahara, and then a number of them having to do with various other things. So anyway, so the question is, therefore, so we have now a double question. Number one, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya is not greater than Talmid Shammai V'Hillel, and certainly not than Daniel. And number two, we say that there's an exception, even if a later Beis Din can revoke a Gzeira from an earlier one, but not the Yud Ches Dover.
The one is, how does the Yoshin not say this, that you can't do the what?
How does he know? Because he learned from his Rebbeim, obviously. Right. But yeah, like anything else, the Gemara said, like anything else, and Amorita says, he's basing it on something that his Rebbeim said. But the truth is, now you do bring up a good point, because why indeed are the Yud Ches Dover something so special? So in fact, the Rambam holds it's not specifically the Yud Ches Dover. He says more generally, any takan, any gzera that comes to make a siag for the Torah, which all the Yud Ches Dover are, these things, for example, about not using candlelight on Shabbos, because you may come to move it or whatever. So therefore, he says it's not specifically the Yud Ches Dover. I mean, any gzera of that kind, as opposed to, you can have a gzera or takana that the Chachamim make not specifically to not specifically as a siag la-Torah. They make it for some other reason, because they under the current conditions or whatever, they figure they need it. Then there's more flexibility in a later base than revoking. Not so much current conditions, but the point is, if it's not specifically in order to buttress, in order to prevent people from being over on a lav in the Torah. So the Yud Ches Dover are, whereas various other Xeris Takonis, not necessarily. But anyway, Tosfos mentions a different thing, which is that Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that actually the Yud Ches Dover are unique because Omdu Lahem B'Nafshei Sehem, they went on Mesiras Nefesh to do it. The Yerushalmi mentions over there that the Natsu Cherev of Beis HaMedrash, they stuck a sword into the ground of the Beis HaMedrash, and they announced that everybody who's here had better stay here so that we can vote on this and decide these things. And then nobody else can come in. A couple of Talmidei Beis Hillel managed to squeeze their way in. Whatever the point is, they were moisa nefesh. They were moisa nefesh to be able to do these Yud Ches Dover, and therefore they have a special status.
How would that halakha come out going to Beis Shammai in those cases?
Because Beis Shammai was the majority at that point. That's the point.
Not
necessarily because of the Romans. No, they had Mesiras Nefesh in order that they had to make sure that they can arrange things such that we will have a majority and be able to be goyzer of these Xeris, which we consider to be essential for their
altogether. Together.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would have been very hard for them to. Otherwise, normally they still loud numbers Beis Shammai. That's usually, but you have exceptions. You have six places where the halacha is like the Shammai. Plus, you have these Yud Ches Dover, which eventually, even though the Shammai voted on them, but once it was accepted that these are the halacha, then Beis Hillel accepted them as well, because after Rabban Lapis. And at that point, the Shammai were the Rabban.
When Beis Shammai...
Usually, Beis Shammai is outnumbered by Beis Hillel. Therefore, usually, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Yeah. In this particular case, when they went up to this attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorein, so Beis Shammai was the majority over there, and the Yerushalmi explains that basically that Beis Shammai took heroic measures to prevent more people from Beis Hillel coming into the room. So six people from Beis Hillel managed to squeeze their way in, but the rest not. Therefore, they had a majority at that point, and therefore they were able to make the exit. Yes, that's what we're saying, the Na'at Tukhara, but they physically... Because it is, because that was the Mesiras Nefesh, that they knew these Gzeiras are essential. We need them for the future of the Jewish people. Therefore, if that's what it takes, that we're going to keep out people who are not going to vote in favor of it, and therefore they won't happen, then we're not going to allow it. Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. No, it means that the women, how can they prevent? Because this is part of how they have to achir rabim lahatir, they have to decide things in halacha, and therefore they can't have the mekilim over there. Just the opposite. Chas v'shalom. It's the opposite of reform and conservative. We're going to keep out the mekilim so that we can be machmer, so that we can make it. Yeah. Okay.
Was somebody was there the majority?
Yeah, in this case, they were the majority. Okay, anyway, let's go on. Okay. Omer of Masharshia, so the Masharshia answers, Matam. Okay, so what's the reason? The reason why...
They all accepted them afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they were not...
Most of them weren't there. But yeah, once it was decided, Akhriyat Matas, that's Akhidat Vashal Torah, that's how the Torah is. You accept the majority opinion. Yeah.
But it's not the majority.
It was the majority at that point.
Oh, that point.
At that point, but that's all you need. By the same logic as you have, for example, I mean, we could get very far off topic over here, but for example, in the famous story of Rabbi Eliezer and Tanur Shalach Noi, not all the Chachamim were present there either, but the ones that were present there.
They were not physically forced out. They were just not present.
They weren't present because it was dangerous to meet because of the Romans or whatever. The point still remains that you had only a small group of the Chachamim over there. Nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer was outnumbered and he was supposed to follow it.
Okay.
So it's the same thing. So it's the same thing over here. It's a similar thing over here. Anyway, Amar of Masharshia, Matam. So the Masharshia says, okay, but what's the reason why generally a Beis Din is not able to be mevatel the words of a previous Beis Din, and why is it specifically that the Yud Ches Davar are even more unique in that regard? The reason is because those Yisurim have spread and are accepted by the majority of the Jewish people. Well, Shemen lo poshet Yisurim v'rei Yisrael. Well, oil has not been poshet in the majority of the Jewish people. Therefore, even though it is a takana of an earlier Beis Din, even though also it's from the Yud Ches Davar, nevertheless, though, that's not because it was not poshet Yisurim, therefore the usual rules don't apply to it.
So the fact that the acceptance is more important than anything else.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah. Even though, yeah, exactly. Tosfos brings two different explanations what the mahalach of the Gemara over here is. Is it that Rav Masharshia is answering the question, or is it that Rav Masharshia is continuing the statement, that the reason the question we had is why a Beis Din is not able to be mevatel divrei Beis Din chaveroi, and Rav Masharshia is clarifying, let me sharpen the question by explaining that the question is, when you have that it's poshet Yisurei b'chol Yisrael, then a later Beis Din can't revoke it, unless they're greater in Chochman and Minyan. And therefore, the answer comes that Shemin is different because of the poshet Yisurei b'chol Yisrael. And we know this. The Amr of Shmuel Ba'aba Amr of Yechanan, Yoshua Rabbi Seinu Bodku, our Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din, went and sat down and checked into it, Al Shemen, regarding oil, Shalai Poshet Isurei B'Rav Yisrael, that the Isur of it had not spread, was not widespread, was not kept as a widespread thing by most of the Jewish people. Therefore, they could revoke it because the Samcha Rabbi Seinu, Al Divir of Shemim Amliyov, Al Divir of Elazar ben Tzadik, our Rebbes, meaning again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beis Din, were Soimich, they relied on the words of Rabbi Shemim Amliyov and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, Shoyu Oimim, that they used to say, Ein Gurizim Gzeira al Tzibur, Elein Kein Reiv al Tzibur, Yechayu Mamidba. You do not make a Gzeira on the Tzibur unless most of the Tzibur is able to withstand it. So in this case,
yeah,
they were.
Unless the Gzeira was made by a previous Tzibur.
No.
That's the key.
So from Rashi over here, it's Mashma. From Rashi over here, it's Mashma, and the Kesef Mishnah discusses this on the Rambam. From Rashi over here, it seems to be implied that once you have, if in any one generation it was accepted by the majority, then that's it. A later Beis Din can't revoke it, even if in a later generation they get careless about it. However, the Kesef Mishnah says that maybe according to the Rambam, not so. Maybe according to the Rambam, even if at one point it was observed by the majority, if there comes a point later on where it is not, maybe a later Beis Din has the ability to revoke.
Maybe.
The Kesef Mishnah says maybe, yeah.
But it's not definitive.
Okay, but it's not definitive. But at any rate, according to Rashi, not even that. If at any time between Daniel's time or Talmidei Hillel Shammai's time and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's time, it had been accepted by the majority, then that's it. It would be permanent. However, in this case, since it wasn't, then they have the ability to revoke it.
It wasn't at that time.
According to Rashi, it wasn't at any time. Throughout there, they figured out that.
Rashi,
that's how Rashi is learning the Gemara. That's how he's learning the Gemara, that what it means is that it has to be that roiv tzibur yecholim lamidbo, and like this, there never was a roiv of the tzibur that was able to be loimed in it, and therefore that's it. Therefore they have the ability to revoke.
But it's difficult to establish.
Okay. Like that. It would mean that they have to check into it. They'd have to do some research. That's what we mean. Yoshua Bodku.
How did they know they'd be able to keep the Gezerah, the Give them a, ask them questions, or they
it means. I mean, the Chachamim live. The Chachamim live among the people. They know what the people are capable of. One. You know, yesterday actually, after the Shia, we were talking over here with Rabbi Cyril Greenberg. He mentioned in this connection something that the Rebbe once said, that he only makes the hurrah for the, he only issues a hurrah to the public if he knows that at least a bare majority of the Chassidim are going to follow it. Which they say in Kabrengen, in that case, imagine how many things there are that Rebbe would have wanted us to do, but he didn't, because he knew. That's the point. That's the point. In other words, by the same way as the Rebbe knew his chassidim, and knew what we're capable of and what we're not, and what we're going to accept and what we're not, the same way it's expected under ordinary circumstances that the Chachamim are going to know. They live among the people. They're not living as some separate caste of their own. They know. Sometimes they can get it wrong because, okay, everybody has to.
Let me ask you a simple question. If it's the case that a gzera is accepted by the majority of Jewish people, why do you have to do research on it? It becomes, there's a code that you know that gzera has been accepted.
So maybe part of the research is checking into the kollel. Yeah, that could very well be
accepted. Everybody knows that we're wearing yarmulkes for
generations. Okay, so then in that
case, nothing to check.
Okay, then in that case, yeah. So in this case, they figured out that this wasn't the case with Shemen, that people, that even though you had many people who were being careful with Shemen, I mentioned to you yesterday the thing that Josephus says about soldiers in Goyish armies in that period who wouldn't accept part of their pay in oil, they demand, and then the king ended up having to give them cash instead. So obviously there were people in every generation who kept it, but they figured out, they did research and found out that in no generation had there been a majority yet. So therefore, so they can cancel it. D'amar of Adar Ba'ava Maikra, and the reason why that works is Rav Adar Ba'ava says, where's a pasuk that implies this idea, that the majority of the tzibur has to accept the gzera in order for it to be chal? Pasuk says in Malachi, it's in the Torah of Shabbat HaGadol. But he's not saying it in his capacity as a Navi. He's saying it in his capacity, he's telling the Jewish people, you're acting wrong in halacha. He says like this, Bame'era atem ne'orim, you are being cursed with a curse, v'osi atem kovim, and me, Hashem, you're stealing from, ha'goy kolo, the entire nation. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like that you're not giving truma and meiser, you're having, because of that, you're having bad crops, and the mafoshim on the pasuk, explain, the chat means like this, you're stealing from Hashem by not giving truma and meiser properly, therefore you're having bad harvests and other problems with panos and whatever, so you're not even taking into consideration that you're just making things worse and worse for yourself by stealing from Hashem.
But
the Navi, Malachi, is saying to the Jewish people. However, the Gemara over here is explaining the first words, Bame'era Atem Ne'orim, a little bit differently. What it means is, you have accepted on yourselves the Gzeira, and you've accepted it with an Oru, with a curse. Sort of, but similar to, I mean, we learned in Shavuot, for example, that a curse is a type of Shavuot. So if the people accepted on themselves that they were going to keep a certain mitzvah or a certain zera or whatever, and they accepted it with a curse, then that in other words, if we don't fulfill it, then we're accepting a curse on ourselves. That's the equivalent of a shvura. So you've accepted with a shvura on yourselves to follow this zera, and now you're not keeping it. You're stealing from Hashem by not keeping it. But the pasuk continues, "Hagoy kulay," the entire nation, implying "e ikur goy kulay ein," only if the entire nation or majority of the nation has accepted the takana. Rubik kulay, fine. The majority is like the whole thing. But iloy loy. But if hagoy kulay had not accepted it, then not. Then it's not chal at all. And then actually, Tosfos says in that case that even a lesser based din can revoke it. That's what we're saying over here. That Rabbi Huda Nasir, who's a lesser based din than Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. And by the way, even according to Shmuel agrees that it's one of the takanas of Hillel and Shammai, says Tosfos and Amud Aleph. So at least according to him, he's still...
They disagreed.
He and Rav disagreed whether it was a takana of Daniel, but they both agreed that later on, that some or all of the takana was established by Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is a lesser base din than them. But again, since it wasn't Poshat B'chol Yisrael, as we're saying over here, then even Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's base din has the ability to do it. Tosfos still says, okay, you do still have, it is chal in the sense you do need a base din to be mastered. You can't just say, okay, well, it was never established, therefore we can just go violate it with impunity. You still need some kind of based in to be officially master, which is what Rabbi Huda Nasiya and his based in did. But they're able to do that.
Who makes the decision about the right?
The
present based in?
The present based in, yeah. That's the point. In other words, Rabbi Huda Nasiya and his based in sat down and did this research, and yeah. By the way, the Yerushalmi mentions an the Yerushalmi mentions a detail over here. The different Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi have what the Yerushalmi says is that the problem with oil, the problem was that they were going to Har HaMelech, which is a major oil producing area of Eretz Yisrael, and getting killed when they would go there. So some of the Mefarshim on the Rambam understand that to mean that was the part of the, besides that was saying in our Gemara over here, in the Bavli, that the reason behind the Gzeira was because of chasnus, was because not to be too socially close with the Goyim. Some of them explain that means also another reason for it, why Daniel found it necessary to make the Sekana, is because Jews were going to, to these areas over there to get to buy oil from the Goyim, and the Goyim were killing them, and therefore, in other words, he made the Sekana because of Sekana. Other Mefarshim explain the other way around. Why Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya found it necessary to be master it is because this was a heavily populated Goyish area. When Jews would go there to supervise the pressing of the oil, because they would have to under the Zera, the Goyim were killing them. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya found it a necessity to revoke the Zera, because otherwise, because like this, it's dangerous. And the reason why he was able to do it is, as our Gemara is saying over here, because it was never poshut in Reuver of the Sibur in the first place.
So even Sakana could not remove it if it's
been... Right, then it would just mean you'd have to use other kind of oil or find another place to get your oil from, whatever, yeah.
Because those people by themselves stop going to those places, endangering their lives and their life just to get oil.
Well, the point is, oil was a very basic necessity over there. People would go there, Mashgichim would go there, and it was dangerous, so therefore, well, it depends where, but yeah. Okay, so the bottom line is with what we're saying over here, when a later based in can cancel Takana of an earlier based in and when not, you have a few different approaches among the Rishonim. Tosfos says it depends, that even if it was Poshet Berov Yisrael, a later based in, as long as they're greater, can be Mevatelet, except for the Yod Ches Dover. The Yod Ches Dover are in a category of their own. They can never be revoked even by a greater based in, but a greater based in could cancel any other Xera, and if it wasn't Poshet B'chol Yisrael, then even a lesser based in can do it. That's Tosfos. That's Tosfos. Yeah.
About that book, 2 generations go away. 3 generations, they forget about it. There's no love, there's no love.
Okay, but that's so like this. That's what I'm saying. So they had to check. They had to check into it. The Rambam understands again that the Rambam understands the Yud Ches Dover are not really a category of their own. It's just an example of a category where they make Gzera as a fence around the Torah to prevent people from being over on a loisa. Yeah? So then it depends.
Still cannot be canceled.
No, so that's the point. In other words, according to the Rambam, it's not only the Yud Ches Dover can't be canceled, but any such Gzera that was made for that purpose of strengthening the Torah can never be canceled, even by a greater Bastion. Even by Eliyahu Hanavi's Beis Din, as we said on Amud Aleph, if it was not made for a siyug, then a greater Beis Din can revoke it, and if it was loy pasha, then again any Beis Din can revoke it, as we're saying here in our Gemara. And then you have a third understanding over here is the Ravid, is that never mind whether it's a siyug, never mind whether it's from the Yud Ches Dover. If it was poshet b'chol Yisrael, then no Beis Din can ever be mevatelet. If it wasn't poshet b'chol Yisrael, then they can.
But here it was clearly a siyag.
So that's the thing. According to the Ravid, it doesn't matter whether it was a siyag or not.
According to the Rambam, it does.
According to the Rambam and according to Tosfos, it does, right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the various possibilities, basically. Okay. Gufa. Now, getting back to what we said before, Omer Bali Omer Aviminu Tor Meshmeder Rav, we said that Bali said in the name of Aviminu Tor, who said in the name of Rav, we said that bread of Goyim and their oil and their wine and their daughters are all part of the Shmoyna Asa Dover. They're all part of the Yud Ches Dover that Tamid Hashem of Ahilol voted on. So the question is, as you asked, Yaakov, B'nei Sehen Mai, what is B'nei Sehen? What is the Gzeira on B'nei Sehen exactly? Amen of Nachmi, it means like this. Nothing, it goes through al B'nei Sehen nidos me'ari sotan. They made a gzera that Goyish girls are considered nida even from when they're first born. Arisotan means in their crib. So even when they're first born. Now what it is like this, in other words, that you have with a Jewish girl, mida arisa, if she has vaginal bleeding, even on the day she was born, she becomes a nida. Normally, of course, that only happens much later when she reaches puberty. A goy minatora is not metame with nida or ziva or anything like that. Midrabanan, we're saying not only are we saying that they're Tamei Nida, but we're extending it even from when they're born. The Goyim. We're extending it, Goyish girls, we're extending it even from when they're born in order to prevent chasnus, in order to prevent that Jewish men should marry or be involved with them. Minatoda they're not, but Midrabanan, they have that status. midrabbanan, they have that status, and then it means it has implications as far as the dinim of tumah v'tahara. It means, therefore, if a goyish or girl touches food, for example, midrabbanan becomes tummy. Yeah.
But a man, a goy...
A goyish man we'll talk about later. That we'll get to later. There's also gzera on them also, but that's a separate. That's a separate.
Yeah, it would seem logical to make theirs both.
Yeah, so we'll get there soon. Ugniva mishmei rabam. Ugniva in the name of Rav says a different understanding of it. Kulan mishum avodas kechavim gazru behen. No, what it is this: the bread and the wine and so forth. All of them. The reason for the gzera was because of avodah zara. Because one thing can lead to another, which can eventually lead to being involved. Well, so eventually it can lead to being involved with goyish gurus, and that in turn can lead to avodah zara. So some of the Mepharshim say that Gniva is arguing with the first explanation and saying that it's not, the problem is not so much chasness, the problem is avodah zara. Some of them say that he's really clarifying and saying the reason, the problem.
You can't distinguish between both when you see one Sarah, the meaning of
media. That's what we're going to talk about. Hold on.
There was no such difference.
Yeah, hold on. So, and how do we know this? The Osir of Acha Ba'ada Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, because when Rabbi Acha Ba'ada came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Gozra Pitan Mishum Shannon, they made a gzera, the Chachamim, on that you're not allowed to eat bread of Goyim because that may lead you to drink, to use their oil. And the Gemara interjects before we finish the whole statement. No, we're not up to that yet. Before we get to the wine and the rest of them, the Gemara interjects, my umid de shemen yipas, why should oil be anything stronger than bread? What do you mean they made a gzera on bread because that might lead to oil? So why is oil any stronger than bread? You could have said the other way around. They made a gzera on oil because you might need to have their bread. Yeah. Ella, no. What it means is alpitan
could lead to wine.
Fine, but that's right. Ella, alpitan vishamnon mishum yena. No, what we mean to say is that they made a gzera at the same time on bread and on oil because both of those might lead to drinking their wine. And in turn, they made a gzera about drinking their wine because that may lead to getting involved with their daughters. Then they made a gzera on being involved with goyish girls because that may lead to davar acher, namely avodah zara. And by the way, they also made a gzera on another thing because of another thing that it could lead to, which we'll talk at the end of the Omud what that means. We'll see at the end of the Omud what that means. But for now, we're going to focus on B'nai Sehen. And by the way, you know, I mean, we discussed when we had the two Mishnayos ago, when we started talking about Yayin Netzach, we discussed at the beginning of the Gemara over there, what the basis, we know Yayin Netzach is also Daraisa, the Gemara established it over there, but what's the basis for the Takana of the Chachamim, about goyish wine, and we talked about the two possibilities. Is it that we're concerned that they did nisuch with it, or are we concerned about chasness? And all Gemara over here seems to be coming down on the side of chasness. However, Mepharshim explained, maybe what it is if it was only the problem that they do nisuch, that wouldn't necessarily be that much of a concern. It's not that likely that a goy is going to take wine and pour it out in honor of his getchka and then turn around and sell that very same wine that now he's sanctified to his getchka and turn around and sell it. So if that was the only problem, we wouldn't make a blanket iser on it. Because the problem of chasnus, that's why we make a blanket iser. On the other hand, if it was only chasnus, there wouldn't be a reason to aser it bahana. It would be like goyish and milk and so forth, which are only also to eat, not bahana.
It's unrealistic based on the history to say chasnus or avodah zara when we know that chasnus.
That's what the Gemara is going to talk about. We just said in what Rav Acha Bar Ada is saying, they made a gzera on b'nei sehen mishum dava acha because it leads to avodah zara. Exactly.
Right.
I'm talking about the previous state. Why are we asking wine of goyim not only to drink but also bahana? So we're saying that our Gemara is talking about the reason mishum b'nei sehen. Earlier we talked about the reason is because we're concerned about nisuch. We're concerned about that the goy may have poured a libation of it to avodah zara. And that's the thing. We're showing him point out we need both reasons because if we only had the reason of nisuch, that wouldn't be a reason to make a blanket zera. And if it was only chasnos, we would not make it also vahana. The two reasons together explain why it's a blanket iser and why it's also vahana.
And the two reasons are put together.
The two reasons put together, because that's what it is. Each one of them is a reason by itself. Chasnos is a problem that you may come to get involved with the goyish girls, as happened, as you mentioned, by B'nai Midyan.
It means they see them as separate.
It means there are two separate reasons.
They're additive. They're not.
They're right.
Sequential.
That's fine, but nevertheless, though, I mean, that's what we talked about before. We said that's what Rashi brings from the Goyim, that nowadays that Goyim are not monastic. All that's left is the problem of chasnus. Therefore, on that ground, it shouldn't be any different than any of the other things of chasnus. Pas akum under certain circumstances is also, but it's not also bahana. Cholav akum is also, but it's not also bahana. Bishul akum, same thing. if the problem of yayin, of wine, of goyim is only because of chasnus, then it's not also b'hanah, and therefore that's the argument which the Rama brings as an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, that therefore wine of goyim nowadays is not also b'hanah, only to drink. The Rambam says something similar in his times about Muslims, for example, since they're not oved avodah zarah, then their wine is only also to drink, not b'hanah. Fine. So the question is, now comes the question that you were asking before. B'nei Sehen, D'Oraisi. What do you mean that the Chachamim made a gzera not to marry goyish girls? That's D'Oraisa. That's an issur D'Oraisa. D'chtiv lo tischatin bom, because the pasuk says do not intermarry with them. The answer.
The time of Avraham Avinu and Bnei Knan, was it considered also D'Oraisa?
We'll get to that soon. Wait, we're going to get to Beis Din Ishar Shem. Hold on. Right now we're talking after Matan Torah.
Right.
So after Matan Torah, you have an okay. So you have, right now we're talking after Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, we'll deal with soon. Okay. So it says like a schatin bomb. You're not allowed to intermarry with the goyim. So that's that. What are the basin? What are the tamid hill of Hashem? Adding to that. The answer is Daraisa Zion Omis. Midaraisa, you would only be authored to intermarry with the seven nations of Canaan, because those are the ones mentioned in those stukim. The pasuk like a schatin bomb is from the end of Parshas Vayeshanan, and it lists in the previous pasuk. It says Hashem is bringing you to the land of these seven nations, and there is a schatin bomb. So Daraisa would only apply to them. I will shout over to Kabbalah. Daraisa wouldn't apply to other nations. But also Inhu, so now Tamid Hill and Shammai came and made and came along the Gozer after the Shar over to Gekolim. They came and added to the Gzera that it applied. They came and added the Gzera that the same issue applies to intermarrying with other Goyim as well. Okay, the question is Ulur of Shimon ben Yechoy. What about according to Shimon ben Yechoy's understanding of the pasuk? To Omar that he says, now the pasuk continues, after it says, the next pasuk continues, Ki Yosir et bincha me'acharai, he will remove your son from following me. And you have basically two ways of explaining, right, so there's two ways of explaining what that means. One explanation is, now we know the concept, the Gemara learns from these psukim, that the children follow the mother's status. If the mother is a goyter, then so are the children. And if the mother is Jewish, then so are the children. So one way of understanding this pasuk is ki yosir es bincha me'acharai. What's going to happen if your Jewish daughter marries a goyish man? What's going to chas v'shalom? What's going to happen? Her goyish husband is going to turn away your son from following me. Meaning, in other words, so you have your daughter. You have a yid's daughter. She marries a goy. They have a son who is a Jew. That father is going to cause that son to turn away from Yiddishkeit. Well, obviously, but bincha means in general children. That's one way of explaining the pasuk. So in other words, the child is lahalacha Jewish, and his goyish father is going to turn him away from Yiddishkeit. The other way of understanding the pasuk is that it means that if a Jewish man, if your son, a Jewish man, were to marry a goyish woman, again, chas v'shalom, then her father, ki yosir es bincha me'achrei, her father, your son's father-in-law, is going to turn away your son-in-law from following Hashem.
Why are we concerned only about the son or the daughter? We should be concerned about the wife. Are you going to take the wife away from
Hashem? Well, the second explanation we're talking about is that he's going to the wife. The, according to that second explanation, the wife is a goyta. The children are goyim. There's no problem
the
of
wife is Jewish.
If the wife is Jewish, so again, you have the two different ways of explaining the pasuk. Basically, are talking about two different scenarios. One where the wife is the goyta, and one where the husband is the goyta.
Right.
If the wife being Jewish. Fine, of course we're concerned about her, but the pasuk is stressing that you think your grandchildren are going to end up being Jewish. No, your wife's husband, your daughter's husband is going to end up turning them away from Yitzchak. Anyway, the point is that Rav Shimon says on that, since it says ki yosir es bincha me'achrei, right? In other words, the pasuk is giving a reason for the issur, and Rav Shimon holds that whenever we have an issur in the pasuk, we always have to try to find the reason, and then based on that determine when it applies and when not. Therefore, he says, L'rabis kolam esirais. Therefore, he says, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says that the Torah itself, to begin with, is including any goyish nation that will cause your son, or your grandson, as the case, your grandchild, as the case may be, to turn away from Yiddishkeit. So therefore, he says it's not only the seven nations, it's all the nations in the world. So according to him, what are you going to say? If you already have an Easter in the Torah against marrying Goyim of any nation, what are we adding? Zera of Bnei Sehen. By the way, who is the halacha like in this? The Rambam paskins like Reb Shimon. That is that Minat Torah includes all the nations. Well, the Torah disagrees with the Rambam. The Torah says, what are you talking about? That the Reb Shimon is a Das Yochid. Since when do we paskin according to a Das Yochid? We should be paskin according to the Chachamim. that Daraisa is only seven nations and the Rabbanim is everybody else.
Not enough. Shimon and Chachamim disagreed with him?
Obviously. Yeah.
And they said?
And we just said before that they said that it's only the seven nations. So in fact, what you end up with is a machloikas as follows. The Rambam understands that, and on top of that, you have the Gemara in Kedushin that talks about the idea that when we say lo tischatin bam, chasnus, marriage implies something that can work, al pi Torah. But a Jew and a goy can't validly get married al pi Torah. There is no chasnus. So how can you talk about lo tischatin bam? So you end up with two different understandings. You end up with two different understandings of the psukim and the Rambam and the Torah argue which one is correct. One way of looking at it, which is the Rambam's way, which is Reb Shimon's way, is the pasuk is referring to all the nations in the world. That if you marry them while they're goyim, or in the case of the seven nations, if you marry them even after they became gerim, then you're being over on what the Torah is saying. If it's a different nation and they converted, then obviously it's allowed. The Torah, who follows the Chachamim, understands it like this. With the seven nations, you're not allowed to marry them. You're not allowed to marry them when they're goyim, but then that's not called chasnus, that's called nus. You're also to do nus with them before they're gerim. You're also to marry them after they became gerim. After they become gerim, the seven nations, you're still also to marry them. That's what it says. When it says lo tischatin bam, and it's talking about the seven nations, it means after they converted, after they became gerim, you're still also to marry them. As far as the other nations, v'chatchila, they're not also deraita, so they're only also deraita.
And you treat them. Huh? If you had an Eved Kanani that was free.
And Eved Kanani is not allowed to be from the seven nations. That's the whole point. The Torah says, that's the whole point. The Torah says in Parshas Shoftim that when you besiege a city, et cetera, so you take all the people as captives, and you can have them as slaves and maidservants, et cetera, but not the seven nations of Kanani. Like the Chaya Kol Meshama, you're not allowed to leave any of them alive. So
which other nations were there?
So what do you mean, which other nations? There's hundreds of other nations. There's dozens of other nations in the world. There's 70 nations. In Eretz Yisrael itself, actually, we learned way back in Kedushin, you have scenarios over there where a man from the seven nations of Canaan goes and marries a woman from another nation, or vice versa, who the children follow. But yeah, you have, but there were nations all outside of Eretz Yisrael also. They come in to trade, they come in, whatever. Okay, so anyway, so according to the Torah's understanding, which is the Chachamim's understanding, the issue of chasnus is only for the seven nations and only after they converted. There's additionally an issue on being mezaneh with them before they converted. As far as the other nations, there's no issue, deraita. Well, that's the halacha according to the Torah. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's the both seven nations and everybody else is also deraita.
So
it's a machlokas of Rishonim. That's all. We don't have a higher authority to appeal to.
So, yeah, but the Jewish people accepted the Rambam.
Hold on, because we're going to discuss over here, there's a series of gzeiros. Ultimately, after the series of gzeiros, you're not allowed to marry any goy. You're not allowed to marry any goy from the seven nations or otherwise. The question is, what part of it is Daraisa, what part of it is Darabana? That's what we're trying to figure out. Okay. Anyway, so fine. So according to the Chachamim, what we're saying is that Midaraisa, you're only also in the girls from the seven nations of Canaan, and then Talmidei Hillel and Shammai extended that to the other nations. The question is, what about according to Reb Shimon? How does he understand what was added by the Yud Ches Davar? No, the answer is Ella. Daraisa issues der chasnus. No, rather, we'll say like this. Midaraisa, the only thing that would be also is when you have a marriage-like thing. Der chasnus, meaning in other words, even so the woman is still a goita, but it's not really a chasnah, because in Torah there's no such thing as a wedding between a Jewish man and between a Jew and a goy, but it's derech chasnus, you're doing it in a way of marriage, you're considering it like a marriage. Midaraisa, even according to Reb Shimon, that would be the only thing that's altered. But also inu goes after the derech nus. The Chachamim came, the Talmidei Hillel and Shammai came and added the detail that even if it's only znus, even if it's only a casual affair, a one-night stand or whatever, it's still altered.
Derech chasnus,
according to Reb Shimon. No, that's the thing. According to Reb Shimon, derech chasnus, maybe it would be considered nus, but minat Torah, there's a specific issue in the Torah not to quote-unquote marry a goy or a goita, whether they're from the seven nations or any other. But minat Torah, there wouldn't be an issue on being mezaneh with them. And according to Reb Shimon, the Chachamim came and added that. So the question is, Znus nami based dinish or shame gozru. In that case, then znus also, they were already gozer on it in the base din of shame. And his successors. So you were asking about before the Torah is given. Here we're talking about that. Dichtiv vayomer Yehuda hoytiyu abtisora. Because what happens over there in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, that Tamar turns up pregnant. Nobody knows who she had relations with. it had to have been a goy because the only Jews around are Yaakov and his 12 sons and their immediate family, and as far as anybody knew, they're not involved. Afterwards, it turned out, of course, she brought out the things, and Yehuda admitted. But before that, it was So she was being put on trial for being mizana with a goy, because that of necessity, whoever she was mizana with would have had to be a goy. So the gzera existed before that, exactly. Beis Din Shoshim doesn't make it daraisa. It means it's mentioned. Even though something is mentioned in the Torah, that doesn't make it daraisa. Something can be mentioned in the Torah and still be considered drabana. Only if it's given as an actual mitzvah does it become daraisa. This is an example of it. Avelos of 7 days is another example, even though the Torah mentions in Parshas Vayechi that Yosef made an Avelos of 7 days for Yaakov. Nevertheless, Avelos of 7 days is only the Rabbana.
Can you punish someone with Sreifa when it's not the Raisa?
The Chachamim have the ability, we learned about this in Sanhedrin, the Chachamim have the ability, when necessary, L'migda Milsa, to put a fence around things, because people are being careless about certain things. Up to Misa, we said about it. We had the example over there of somebody rode a horse on Shabbos and they gave him Skila. Yeah.
The case of the Beis Din Shoshim was only regarding a woman. What about a man?
So there is an interesting point, which is when you get down to it, so how is Yehuda going and consorting with this Gedesha that he sees on the side, where as far as he knows, she's a goita. So therefore, the understanding would be that the understanding Mephoshim would say is that at this point, the Gzeira was that a Jewish woman, and Toma would have been a Giyotis because she married into Yehuda's family, she's not allowed to be with a Goyish man, but vice versa would not be true before Matan Torah. At this point, when there was the Gzeira, a Jewish man would be allowed to be Derech Nus with a Goyish woman.
She was
still a Giyotis? Because she married into Yehuda's family. She would have, Yehuda and his family are not going to marry Goyim.
Later, the Torah commands
Lo Tiyah Kadesh,
but then you saw
that
talking about a man, isn't it?
It's both Lo Tiyah Kadesh and Lo Tiyah Kadesh, yeah. That's later on, that's after the Torah, given you were talking about before.
Oh, so another before, that maybe there was no problem for a man?
That's the point, yeah. And that's what the Gemara is going to say, yeah. Ella, that's actually what the Gemara is going to say. Never mind, of course, the Gemara itself says it right here. Ella, Daraisa, Urkuchav, Mabah, Bat Yisrael, Daraisa, and when we say the word Daraisa over here, we mean it's mentioned in the Torah. We don't mean it's actually Daraisa, because we just established it's a Xero from the Beis Din of Shem. Yeah, one of them, Mephoshim, wants to say that nevertheless it still has the force of a daraisa, but pretty much everybody else disagrees with him. They say that the Gemara is using the word daraisa loosely. It means something mentioned in the Torah, even though it's not actually a din daraisa. It's considered a din d'rabbanan. Anyway, so on that basis, based on this gzera of the Beis Din of Shem, we would say, the problem would be if a goyish man has relations with a Jewish woman, because she's likely to follow her husband. Her husband being the master of the house, she's going
to
end up following him.
Now we're coming to the
that's what we're saying. But based on that zera, a Jew would be allowed to have relations with a goita. That is how Yehuda himself is able to see this Kadesha by the side of the road, who as far as he knows is a goita, because he doesn't know it's Tamar, and have relations with her. Because there would be no problem, we wouldn't be concerned that she would lead him into Avodah Zarah. Apparently,
it's Midian.
Okay, you have such cases, but there was a mass thing. He was talking about one-on-one thing. Okay,
but it can happen.
But nevertheless, the Chachamim of that generation didn't feel a need to make that clear. But also inu gozer afilu Yisrael abal avedes Chachamim. So then, what Talmidei Hillel and Shammai added with the Yud Ches Dover is that even a Jewish man has relations with a goyish woman, even derech nus, not derech chasnus, is also also. Okay.
Okay,
so the Rambam understands, actually, the Rambam understands that any relations outside of marriage are also under Lo Yir Kodesh and Lo Yir Kodesha. Many of the other Rishonim disagree with him on that. In particular, the Ravid talks about over there that it's only if Yichad Aloy, only if you set up like a boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, like as an ongoing relationship rather than just a one-time affair or whatever. That's it. Okay.
It would be very hard to make a zera for a woman and not for a man. I mean,
well, but apparently that's what basically just saying did. That's what we're saying. Okay. The question then becomes, Yisrael Abal Ivedis Kachab Malachal Moshe Mitzinayi. What are you talking about? A Jewish man having relations with a goita is something that we know is punishable under a halachal Moshe Mitzinayi. The Omamar, as we said in a Brice that we learned in Sanhedrin, Haboyal Aramis, Haboyal Aramis Kanoim Persian boy. A Jewish man has relations with a goita, then Kanoim, like Pinchas did with Zimri and Cosby, can kill him. So therefore, what kind of Zera? Yeah. The din daraisa, meaning the halacha l'moshim itzinai, would only apply when it's parhesia. But parhesia doesn't mean the actual ve'ila takes place in public. It means that everybody knows that it's happening. Like over there, Zimri and Cosby went into the tent, but everybody knew that he's taking her in there for his nose. So the thing daraisa, the halacha l'moshim itzinai, would only apply to that, or k'maisa shahaya, like the actual case that happened with Zimri and Cosby. Also inu gozer after the betzina. So then, Tami de Hillel and Shammai came and added that even if it's betzina, even if it's in private, it's still also.
Because why did he?
They found a need to be gozer on it, so same as any other zera. So far, what we're asked is, it is also for a Jewish man to have relations with a goy, to in or outside of marriage, and it's also for a Jewish woman to have relations with a goy, in or out of marriage. However, there are different stages in it. There's a part of it that's also daraisa. According to the Chachamim, only the seven nations. According to Rav Shimon, all the nations, but only Derech Chasnos. Beis Dinah Shel Shem added that Derech Znus, a Jewish woman, can't be with a Goyish man, but the reverse would still be okay. You have Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai that a Jewish man with a Goyish woman, if it's Fahesia, is punishable. And now, Tamid Hillel and Shammai added that even a Jewish man with a Goyish woman, the Sina, is also awesome. Fine. So far, so good. However, However, the problem with it is for a Jewish man and a Goyish woman to have relations in private was already acted by the Beis Din of Chashmonoi, which is in the time of the Nes Chanukah, so you're talking 100, 200 years before Talmid Hillel and Shammai. The Osir of Dimi Omer, because we know this because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that based in Shal Hashmonoi Gozru, Yisrael Abba Alay Vedes Kachavim, if a Jewish man has relations with a Goyish woman, Chayev Mishum Nashgo, he is Chayev Midrabanan on four grounds. Nun stands for Nida. Again, as we said earlier on the Omer, even though Midaraisa Goyim can't become Nida, the Chachamim made Xera that they're to be considered Nida. So therefore he gets Makas Maudus for that. Shin is
Shikima, of course.
What do you mean, Achilah? It's amazing, right. Shin stands for Shivcha, which is, so Rashi says over here, doesn't necessarily mean this particular goita is not necessarily a Shivcha. However, Rashi explains like this. Why are we punishing him for Nida if she's a goyish woman and Nida doesn't apply to her? Because if he has relations with her, he's apt to also end up going and having relations with a Jewish woman when she's Nida. And that would mean Issa Daraisa. Same thing with Shivcha. If he ends up having relations with a Goyish woman, he may end up having relations with a Shivcha, which is definitely also under Lo Yisi Akdesha, what you were mentioning before, Yaakov. Lo Yisi Akdesha, Lo Yia Kadesh, and Lo Yisi Akdesha definitely applies to relations between a Ben Chorin and a Shivcha, or a Bat Chorin and an Eved. So therefore, there's that. In Sanhedrin, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi gives a different explanation. All the nations of the world are considered like Shvachas. They're all considered like maidservants relative to the noble Jewish people. Anyway, so that's Shivcha. The Gimel is Goya. The gimel is that she's a goita, where again the problem is that you may end up doing chasnus with her if you allow to nida shifcha goya and zayin and go. It's a goya again because if you end up having relations with her, you may end up having relations with her in a context of marriage, and we established before that that's also daraita. And the aleph stands for ashes ish, that she's a married woman. Meaning, some of the Mephoroshim say, so Rashi learns again that what it is if he has relations, so we're talking about if she is an Ashes Ish, then, an Ashes Ish, so one second, an Ashes Ish of Goyim is not necessarily also Daraisa for a Jew. An Ashes Ish of a Jew obviously is also for another Jew, but it doesn't necessarily apply to an Ashes Ish of Goyim. However, again, so some of the Mephoroshim explain, Rashi explains over here, that what it means is that if he has relations with a Goyish Ashes Ish, he may end up having relations with a Jewish Ashes Ish, which would be also Daraisa. This is what we're saying, based in Shal Hashmonai, And there's other explanations also, including the idea, not necessarily even is this woman an Ashes Ish, but nevertheless, we're asking it because you may end up having relations with an Ashes Ish, or the Chachamim treated as if she did an Ashes Ish, even if she's not, whatever. So you have those four things.
What's the Yeresh for that?
Marcus Maris, like anything, where a person is over, on Dinam Dinabonim. And he also Robin Omar. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, we usually have Rav Dimi would come and give the first report, and then later on Robin would come and correct some of the details. That so Robin came, he said Mishum Nash Gaz, that not the fourth one is not Aleph, Eshet Ish, the fourth one is Zoyna. Why not Eshet Ish? Because Meforshim say that the Rashi brings it over there in Sanhedrin. We don't assume that an average goyish Eshet Ish is going to be so mufker, is going to be so promiscuous that she's going to go have relations with somebody else outside of marriage. They might. They're not necessarily the most moral people. But you can't say the blanket statement that they're going to. Therefore, take out Eshet Ish and replace it with Zoyna. So Rashi learns that we're talking about if he's a Kohen specifically, because a Kohen is also to have relations with a Zoyna. Actually, it's not Rashi explains, the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin over there that Goyish women are not necessarily so promiscuous that we're going to assume that the average Goyish woman that you're Mizana with is an Eshet Ish. Therefore, we take it out and replace it with Zoyna. So Zoyna has...
saying that a Jewish man can have relations with a
no, obviously Zoyna. Not. No, obviously not. What we're saying is, again, if he's a Kohen, he's also Daraisa to have relations with a Zoyna. If therefore, so Rashi says we are talking about a Kohen over here. If he has relations with a Goyish woman, she's also, we're saying, in the category of a Zoyna, Dirabanan, maybe the Rambam learns even Doraisa.
Yes, yeah. For a Kohen, no for Yisrael.
So the Rambam says that what it is if it was a Kohen, actually, it wouldn't be a Din Dirabanan, it would be a Din Doraisa, that he's not allowed to have relations with her. What we're saying is the Chachamim made a Gzera that a Yisrael is not allowed to have relations with her because we treat her as a Zoyna.
Kohen is
Doraisa. Kohen would be Doraisa, so the Yisrael would be Dirabanan, whereas according to Rashi and Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim. That's the Rambam holds that. According to Tosfos, what we're saying is that according to Rashi and Tosfos, we're saying specifically a Kohen, if he has relations with her, then we get him on the grounds of Zoyna. If he was an Eishes, if he was Yisrael, you would only have the other one, Nida, Shifcha, and Goy. Okay, anyway, the point is...
So Marcus
Marcus, yeah. Again, according to the Rambam, if he was a Kohen, then he gets Marcus Doraisa because of Zoyna. Anyway, the point is, so again, so based in Shochash Renoi, you made this Zera, and they're talking about Bitsina, presumably. So therefore, so what are Tamid Hill and Shammai adding? The answer is Kigozer based in Shochashmanoi Bia. Fine, but what based in Shochashmanoi made the Xera is if they actually have relations. Abu Yichud Loi. No. So right, even the Sina, in other words, leaving us
sort of people.
No, they didn't. They said like this. Mida Raisa Derech Chasnus. Based in Shoshem, also Derech Znus, but only in one direction. Halacha l'moshmi Sinai also in the other direction, but if it's the Fahesia. Based in Shochashmanoi added Vitzina, because that we didn't have yet, according to this that we're saying before. Now, what did Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai come and add? Avo Yichud Loi. Up until that point, with based in Shochashmanoi, a Jewish man would be allowed to be in Yichud with a Goyish woman, or vice versa. But also Inu Gozer Akhilu Yichud. So now, what Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai did is they came and added that a Jewish man is not allowed to be in Yichud with a Goyish woman.
So basically, the Gemara is saying there were layers of...
There were layers, yeah, there's layers of things, yeah. At this point, we're saying there's five different layers, yeah. So the question is, Yichud Nami based initial David Gazru, what do you mean? The issue of Yichud of two people who are not married was made by the based in of David. The Amr of Yehuda, Ba'oitza Shah Gazru al Yichud, and not the Chashmenaim, David was hundreds of years before the Chashmenaim, yeah. With which Rabbi Yehuda says, at that time, after the story of Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon lured his half sister Tamar into the house and raped her, and then she wasn't considered lahalacha. She wasn't considered his half sister. That was David HaMelech's time. Yeah, lahalacha. She's not his half sister because she was born from a yifas toyar, and therefore, even though biologically she's his half sister, lahalacha, she's considered a geyoris. But anyway, the point is, at that point, the chachamim made a gzeira on yichud. So you already have a gzeira on yichud from beforehand. The answer is Amri. They say hosam yichud debas Yisrael. Yes, but the gzeira that David HaMelech and his based did is on a Jewish man being in yichud with a Jewish woman. Based on that, it wouldn't be also for a Jewish man to be in Yichud with a Goyish woman. But also, Inu Gozra, for the Yichud, Diabetes Kechavim. So now, Talmidei Hillel and Shammai added that you're not allowed to be in Yichud with a Goyish. Okay, so the question is, so fine, so now that covers it so far. So now we've established there are five different layers in the Isser of between Jews and Goyim. Some Daraisa, you have plain Daraisa, you have Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, and you have three different Zeres. Based initial shame, based initial Hashmonoi, and Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. Fine. Now, kind of a side thing. So we mentioned Yichud Debas Yisrael, which we said that David made a Zera on it. The question is, Yichud Debas Yisrael, Daraisa. What are you talking about? The issue of Yichud with a Jewish man and a Jewish woman who are not, is Daraisa. The Amr of Yechon Mishum Rav Shimon Yehi Tzadak, Remez Yichud Min HaTorah Minayin, where do we have a hint in the Torah for the concept of Yichud? And we don't mean a hint, by the way, that it's only like an Asmachta. Some of the Meforshim actually learn it that way, but most of the Meforshim learn that it means. We just mean Remez, it's not explicitly spelled out in the Torah. But how do we know that, nevertheless, it is a Din D'Oraisa? The Amr of Yechon, yeah. Because the Pasuk says, Ki yisischa achicha benimecha. The Pasuk says, if your brother, the son of your mother, tries to mislead you into worshipping Avodah Zarah, then don't listen to him. So the question is, why is it mentioning? Yeah, it says, achicha benimecha. It says, your brother, the son of your mother. So what are you talking about? Only a maternal brother would be mesis, a paternal brother wouldn't. Why does the Torah specifically specify it? There is, by the way, a remez that the Baal HaTurim says on the Pasuk over there. It comes to hint that there's a certain famous Beni Mecha in history, a certain Jew who we know his mother was Jewish, but his father was a guy, and he was a mesis, and therefore the Torah is warning us not to follow him. But in terms of halacha, we need an explanation. Yeah. Ella, what it comes to teach you is ben misyachadim imay. It comes to teach you a son is allowed to be in yichud with his mother. And therefore, in other words, why are we saying achicha ben imecha? Because what happens, in other words, you have a woman, she has two sons, let's say from two different marriages. So her one son from her first marriage, Reuven, is going to be with her because he's allowed to be. He's a son allowed to be along with his mother. Therefore, he's also, therefore the other brother is going to be somewhere around also, maybe not in Yichud with them, but at least he's going to be somewhere around. Right. And therefore, he can end up trying to convince him in secret. So we learn with that. Whereas a person is not allowed to be in Yichud with any of the Arayas in the Torah. So that already exists in our Torah. What is Govan and is based in that? The answer is Yichud can with his mother, because what we're saying is the kind of close relatives where a normal person is not attracted to a son and a mother, then the Torah is saying it's allowed, implying. But any other case where there would be also to have relations is also.
But there's a brother.
No. There's another brother over there who he's trying to convince, but the main point is the same, that Reuven, the first son, is able to be alone with his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, and therefore we have a remez in the Torah for that. So therefore we see that a man is allowed to be alone with his mother, or a father with his daughter,
right,
but not most of the other arayas. So that's d'oraisa.
Right.
Okay. The answer is, yichud d'oraisa d'eshesish. Mid'oraisa would only apply to a married woman, or somebody else who there's an actual issu of arayas, there's an issu kares, or mrs. Bastin, or at least a lav. But also David, what David added is that even for Yichud with a Pnuya, with an unmarried girl, where there's no issue in the Torah for them to get married, nevertheless, he still goes around Yichud after the story of Amnon and Tamar.
Another layer.
Yeah. And then, but also Talmidim, Bishama, Bishilol, and then again, Talmidim, Bishama, and Bishilol came 1,000 years after David, Gozer, Afrila, Yichud, David, Yichud. They added also that you're not allowed to be in Yichud with a Goyish woman. So that covers it. Now we understand what Bnei Sayin is all about. That's
so
exactly.
It was really about Arayas, and then.
So now we're saying that what they added was Yichud. Right. Okay.
What it says in the Vedas Kochavim, does it mean any Gentile woman? Or
yeah, it means any goat. It means any goat. So yeah, Vedas Kochavim was something changed by the censors, yeah. Okay, fine. Now we said in the Braisa before, we quoted before of Ada, where Achaba Ada saying in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, we said they made a gzera on bread and oil because that may lead to wine because that may lead to Bnei Seyen may lead to Dover Achot Avodah Zarah, and then we also continued over there, the Chachamim also made a gzera, also one of the Yudchas Dover, Al Dover Acha Mishum Dover Acha. They made a gzera on something else because of the concern that it would lead to another, to something else. It's not really a gzera on a gzera. What we're talking about, the second thing that we're talking about is actually also d'oraisa. So therefore, they made a gzera, yeah. With that said, though, I mean, you make a good point, which is, how are we making gzera on bread and wine, and bread and oil, because it might lead to wine, and then wine, because it might lead to Menesehen, and so forth. Isn't that a gzera with gzera? We have a few different answers, one of them being it's all part of one big gzera. Another idea is when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we have to be more stringent, and then I'm bound to give these answers. Anyway. So what do we mean, what do we mean that there's another thing that the Chachamim saw fit to ask there because it may lead to something else? What is that? They made a gzera that a goyish boy is considered to be a zav, even if he never was a zav. Again, midoraisa, a goy can never be a zav, only a Jew can. Midrabanan, they said not only if he actually had zivos, is he a zav, but even if he never did. So this is you asked him before about the tumah of goyish men. Here was your answer. They made a parallel gzera for goyish men. Gosha boys, and obviously it remains when they become men, Shaloya Hekinik Yisrael Rogalat for the Mishkav Zachar. This way, a Jewish boy is not going to be hanging out by him and end up doing Mishkav Zachar.
Because he knows
his tummy. In those times, people were very careful. People sometimes were more careful about Tumah Vatara than other areas of Torah. You find sometimes, you find a story in Yoma, for example, where people were more concerned about Tumah Vatara even than about, that they were more concerned about Tumah Vatara than they were about murder. So by the same logic over here, even though Mishkav Zachar is something very serious, also Daraisa, nevertheless, okay, people have a Yesahara, they might succumb to it. But like this, if they know that there's Tumah involved, then they might not. There's a Gemara in Brachas also, by the way, that mentions that the Gemara tells that there was a man over there who was trying to proposition a woman to be Mazana with him. This is during the period when the Takana of Ezra was in effect, where you can't daven or learn after you had an emission of Keri before you go to the mikveh. So she says to him, Reka, are you empty person? Do you realize there's no mikveh around you? You're going to become Tomei. And he stopped. That was enough to hold him back. Yeah.
So
they were very machmeh on Hilchos Tumah Vatara. The Amr Rav Zeira, and we know this because Rav Zeira said, Sar Gadol Hayoli Eitzel Rav Asi. I had a lot of trouble asking this by Rav Asi, meaning I asked him many times and he didn't know the answer. But Rav Asi Eitzel Rav Yechanan. Rav Asi had the same trouble asking Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan Eitzel Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai Eitzel Rav Nathan Ben Amram. Rav Nathan Ben Amram Eitzel Revi. Regarding something related to this, at what age does this Zeira kick in? At what age of the Goyish boy's life does this Zeira kick in? Right? Tosfos says, by the way, that on the face of it, what the Gemara is saying is that all these people were all contemporaries. Rav Zeira and Rav Asi and Rav Yechanan and so on and so forth, all the way back to Rebbe, had to have them living at the same time. Because the saying Rav Zeira bothered Rav Asi about it many times, and Rav Asi in turn went and asked Rav Yechanan. Rav Yaakov Emden says it's hard to say that. Rav Zeira is several generations after Rebbe. He says what it means is Rav Zeira says, I had a lot of trouble asking Rav Asi, and Rav Asi at one point told me, you know, I had the same problem in my time with Rav Yechanan. I asked him several times and he didn't know the answer. And Rav Yechanan in his generation told me that he had the same
thing.
So each one, in other words, you're asking me the question, I don't know either. But eventually they figured out the answer. Tinek Obed Gechavim Me'emesai Metame B'ziva. At what age does the Zera that a Goy is a Zov, does it kick in? V'omali Ben Yoimai. And Rebbe said the answer is as soon as the baby is born. Same way as we said at the top of the oven as far as the world. However, Shabasi Eitzer Rebchia. But then continues Rav Nathan Ben Amram, when I came to Rebchia, Omerly Ben Ketz Shonim V'Yemechad. No, it only kicks in when the Goyish boy is nine years and one day, meaning 9 full years old. Because that's the age when Bia is significant. Before that, below that age, it's not considered Bia. When I went, says Rav Nathan Ben Amram, when I went and told this over to Rebbe, Omali, he says to me, okay, Hanach Dvarai, V'Echoiz Divir Rav Chia. Fine, set aside what I said, that it begins when he's born, accept what Rav Chia says, that it only kicks so him when he's nine, he accepted it. Hoyo V'Roi L'Bia, because only at that age is he fit for Bia, because below 9 years old, it's not considered Bia. Mitame Nami Beziva. Therefore, at that point, since the reason for the Gzera is to prevent that Jewish boys should be involved with Mishkav Zachar with him, so it makes sense to only begin the Gzera when he's of an age that Mishkav is that Mishkav Zachar has a significance in Halacha.
Which is nine.
Amar Ravina, so Ravina says in this connection, Hilchos, well by that logic also, if we're saying that the Gzera only kicks in when the person is Roi Lubia, then by the same logic, this takana, this zera that we said before about Bnei Sehen, that as soon as they're born, they should be coming near to, no, it doesn't begin when they're born. It should only begin when they're 3 years old. By the same logic, only when she's Roi Labia, only then should we say that Ziva is that we consider her to be a Zava, Midrabanan. Okay, so the question is, Pshita, in that case, isn't that obvious that if we're saying that rule is by a boy, then the same parallel rule should be by a girl, that it should kick in at 3 years old? The answer is, Maudetema, no, but you might have thought to say, Hai Yodala Guli, Vahola Yodala Guli. You might think, still, there is a difference. A nine-year-old boy already knows how to convince other people. He has, as Rashi says, Armumis. He has like a craftiness. He's able to... Al-Guli means like to get somebody else used to it. So Rashi translates it with the word Armumis. So a nine-year-old is capable of doing that. He's capable of talking a Jewish kid into doing Mishkav Zachar with him. Therefore, we might think there's a reason for the Gzeira to begin there. As opposed to a girl, the Hola Yodala Guli, as opposed to a girl 3 years old, fine. physically she's capable of bia, and bia is considered significant in halacha. But a three-year-old is not going to be capable of convincing somebody for that. So you would think maybe the gzeder shouldn't kick in. Kamash malon, nevertheless, Ravina is telling us that that's not so. It kicks in when she's 3 years old, even though she may not have the ability to try and seduce, just convincing anybody. Nevertheless, once she's royal bia, then we make her a zava. When we make her a zava based on the sakana of the chachamim.
Yeah.